Good afternoon, my AOWs. Welcome back to a brand new episode of your favorite podcast, Health by Heather Hirsch. Today, we're going to cover a topic that's actually becoming a little controversial, which is lab work. And should you or shouldn't you? What should you and what shouldn't you? I actually have evolved over time with this very question. And actually, I do think that lab work can be really helpful. And in particular, a certain type of labs. I'm going to tell you why I think this has become quite controversial, which, you know, I always like to break down for you, giving you that behind the scenes context, and really tell you how I interpret labs for my patients and what this could mean for you if you are looking at your lab work. All right, without further ado, let's get into it. Hi, and welcome to Health by Heather Hirsch, a podcast dedicated to uncovering many of the women's health issues many of us are wondering about, but few of us are talking about. My mission is to expose the current gaps in knowledge and care on all things women's health. Enjoy. Thank you guys, as always, for listening to this show. If you love the show, you're going to love my new book, Unlock Your Menopause Type. This book is really meant to help you identify and target and therefore best treat your most bothersome menopause symptoms. In the book, I go through all the different ways menopause can be treated with HRT, of course, non-hormonal therapies, and diet, exercise, and lifestyle. You can get the book anywhere books are sold. And if you are so inclined, please leave a book review wherever you bought your book. I will absolutely be thanking you. I hope you enjoy reading it as much as I enjoyed writing it. All right. I'm so excited to get into today's show. So right off the bat, I want to go over some really exciting things. So one, it's fall and I am like loving my pumpkin spice, everything nice. I love summer. I'm kind of a summer baby. So I was a little worried how I would do with the transition, but I'm doing absolutely fabulous. Thanks for asking. October is World Menopause Month, and I have so many exciting events coming up in October. In particular, I'm doing a live event in Toronto. It is in the Spin Master Center. It's October 18th, which is World Menopause Day, and I'm doing this in conjunction with Dana Levinson, and you can get tickets either on my Instagram or Dana. I will put that in the show notes below. I would love to see you. It's going to be a small, intimate event, so you're going to want to get your tickets. I can't wait. The other thing is NAMS conference is coming up. So NAMS, if you don't know, that's the North American Menopause Society. So the annual conference is coming up and I am presenting some incredible research. Now, I've been telling you that I'm about to launch something new. And if you want to know what that is, you got to get on my email list. I know that's kind of obnoxious, but it's because it's going to be limited. There's going to be like limited numbers of people who can sign up for said really cool thing launching. So I'm going to send it out to my email list. So to get on my email list, head over to my link in bio on Instagram or over on my website, heatherhirschmd.com, get a free copy of something, or you can, you know, easily just get on my email list without, you know, having to download anything. And you are going to find out probably around that same week as the menopause conference. But by then it will kind of be a little bit more public what I've been working on behind the scenes. And also, if you're like, I can't wait, I must know, go check out my subscriber only podcast that I did last week. That's on Apple Podcasts. Okay. Wow. We're talking about labs. We are talking about lab work. This actually, something that actually came up when I was on Celine Yeager's podcast, we were recording, and I don't think she's released it yet, but she did ask me, you know, what do I think about lab work? And, you know, she said it's kind of controversial. You know, a lot of, you know, menopause experts come on here and say labs are not necessary. And, you know, what do you think, Heather? And I actually realized that I'm not liking that answer, that labs aren't necessary. But I want to dig into this a little bit further. Because it's not so simple either. The other side of the spectrum is I do see unnecessary testing. Dutch testing, for example, where they're testing like a bajillion different things. You get like 19 pages back of lab work. You don't need to go in the deep end either, but that is what's happening when your internist, your OBGYN refuses to order lab work because, and I'll tell you why they're refusing. And so you are left to your own devices because you want information about your freaking body, which I believe that you should have the right to be able to check on. And then, you know, the other extreme is just like with Dutch testing. So I don't do Dutch testing, but herein lies sort of why. It's like way more information than is like literally necessary. And it's expensive and it's costly and it doesn't yield you very much. Okay. So let me first start out by, you know, there is this argument that we don't order lab work in perimenopause because your hormone levels are varying widely. And that is true. And so therefore, herein lies the situation. If someone is checking lab work, it must, absolutely must be looked at, one, in context, and two, over time. So in context, and two, over time. Now, you know, I've kind of been a little bit of a truther on the behind the scenes of why medicine is so broken. Medicine is broken for you as a person, for me, trying to find a doctor. As I talked about in my last episode, I'm trying to find an internist and I finally got an appointment in June of 2024. It's broken for clinicians. It's just broken for literally everybody. Everybody is suffering. But the people who actually suffer the most are women in midlife. Because we are so complicated, we are so complex, and because our hormones are constantly shifting, something that has always really been ignored, and our bodies are literally never the same with each waking day, we are so complex. We have pregnancies where we produce humans, we have autoimmune conditions because of that, we have periods and bleeding and menopause and all of these hormonal shifts that are friends, men don't have, but that is the default body that doctors learn on in medical school, even OBGYNs. Now, I know I'm going to make a lot of assumptions here. I know there are so many great OBGYNs, but I'm just making some big assumptions here. So you got to understand that for purposes of podcasting. When doctors have very little education and understanding about menopause, one, labs are much easier, but perimenopause, two, they actually have no idea how to interpret your lab work. That's the truth. I know that's not surprising to you. They have no idea how to interpret your lab work. And truth be told, the hard truth is that specialties that think and take time are not rewarded in our medical system. So specialties that think, internal medicine, okay? Now, if you're an OBGYN, you are in a specialty where you could think and make less money, or you could operate and make more money. And all of the way these big systems are operated, literally, no pun intended, is like you got to operate to make money. You have to do procedures. You've got to poke people. You've got to do that to make your RVUs, to make money. So specialties where it requires thinking, which for me means when I get someone's lab work in perimenopause, we're going to talk about perimenopause first because menopause is a lot easier. But in perimenopause, when you start to have symptoms and you ask for labs and your doctor says, well, they're not necessary because they're always moving. And you're like, great. Wow. That was so helpful. Oh my God. So glad I asked. You know, so they have to be interpreted in context and over time. So when I get someone's lab work in perimenopause and I see their FSH is, you know, 27 and their estradiol is 47, I'm like, okay, that means nothing to me right off the bat. But I know how to interpret these and I know how to think, and I have to go into your chart. I've got to spend a good 15, 20 minutes thinking about this before I email you back. I've got to go into your chart. I've got to remind myself of where you were. Was it like early perimenopause? Was it late perimenopause? What did you tell me about your periods? Then I have to look at your symptoms, and then I have to see, did I ever check any other labs? And then I have to send them to you and make sense of them. And sometimes actually I'll say, well, you know, I've looked at these and interestingly that day you're just not making a lot of estrogen, but that kind of tracks because you are having all these persistent hot flashes now. Now they're more than just before your period, and your FSH is kind of meh. Like it's puttering along, but it's puttering. And sometimes that's as best as I can get it. But I can do that. And I think, I'm going to come out and say it, I think that there are potentially other reasons why, as I've just mentioned, time, resources, attention, and money, the clinicians don't want to do that. And they can hide behind this excuse of, well, it just doesn't, it's not necessary. It's like not helpful to diagnose perimenopause. Now, listen, here, I'm going to also give you some perimenopause truth. Those are the reasons why doctors don't want to do them. But I'm also going to also let you know that, yeah, they're not necessary. They're not necessary for me to diagnose you with perimenopause. I could probably exist in a vacuum, like back in the pandemic when no one could leave their house and no one could go to LabCorp Quest or get any blood work. I can do this whole thing without any of your blood work. Now, that's taken, for me, like years of experience. It's funny. I have this ask some of my patients. I know you can't, it's a podcast, but I'll be like, I bet your estrogen level is like 42. And they'll be like, Dr. Hirsch was 46. How could you be so far off? Like, I'm really good at like just sensing what your levels are. But again, that's just because I have spent hundreds of thousands of hours, you know, treating women and adjusting doses and starting medications, you know, in perimenopause and menopause. So I actually don't need any lab work. The diagnosis of perimenopause is a clinical diagnosis. But at the same time, I get how frustrating it is for you to feel completely and utterly lost in where your body is. I get that. And I think that if labs provide anything, it's one, the sense that your doctor actually cares, and not that she or he is just going to say they're normal. Because like, yeah, again, in any example, in perimenopause, your FSH will be X and your estrogen will be X. It's not like it's going to be flagged. But to be able to interpret those in context for you and over time is so validating and like calming and gives you some sort of map. Now, not everyone wants their labs. So actually the way I do this, and again, I'm specifically talking about perimenopause, is I'll say to my patients, I can tell based on your symptoms, you have low progesterone and low estrogen because you're anxious, but you're also flashing. And so I think we should do progesterone and estrogen and da, da, da. Okay, whatever. And then I'll say, do you want to get lab work? And they'll kind of look at me like, well, I don't know. Like, and some of my patients will say, well, is it necessary? And I'll say, no. But you know, some of my patients like to know their baseline, and they'll say like, yeah, that would be kind of cool. Sometimes they're like, I'm so freaking busy. I don't care. And I trust you. And I don't need to get labs. Okay, great. And sometimes my patients are like, yes, please. I am dying to know my baseline. I want to follow it. And so let's do that for you. I think that it is not black and white. Okay. So perimenopause, if you are perimenopausal, you're listening to this, you're still getting periods, you bleed, maybe they're all over the place or they're erratic. You know, my takeaway here is that lab work can be helpful in context over time. Perimenopause is still clinical, and so your clinical symptoms still trump that. But if you want to get lab work, yeah, let's get lab work. I know what I'm doing. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm helping you also feel more comfortable in what has happening to your body. And lab work is not at all astronomically, we're not like scanning your whole body. Like, you know, I think that's also the, you know, clinicians are like, no, I refuse. Like, what? Oh my gosh. When it comes to lab work, I actually really just check three main labs. Okay. FSH, estrogen, and testosterone. I don't need a progesterone, but if you're kind of curious, I can get it. The reason I don't really need progesterone is it's going to decrease, and you know, your serum levels aren't necessarily super indicative of very much. So I'll check your FSH, your estrogen, your testosterone free and total. Now, sometimes also for getting labs, I'll say, let's also check a thyroid, a free T4. If you have any thyroid abnormalities, I check a full thyroid panel, because the bopping around, the volatility of the estrogens also going to throw off your thyroid. So it's not at all uncommon in perimenopause for many women that is when their synthroid doses is just like so uncontrollable. And it's funny because I'll have patients come to me and they'll say, well, my endocrinologist, you know, is just, you know, having such a hard time. And I'll say, ha. And once we stabilize your estrogen, your thyroid's going to be so much more easier to manage. And that's really quite true. And then, you know, also maybe it's time to look at a metabolic panel. What's your A1C? What is your lipid panel? What's your vitamin D? If there's fatigue, what's your iron? What's your ferritin? If there's hair loss, what's your zinc? What's your magnesium? And your iron. What is your, you know, total iron binding capacity? What is your, especially if we're thinking about, you know, going backwards, sorry, testosterone, what's your sex hormone binding globulin? There's actually a lot of labs that could be pretty useful. So I'm over this. Even, you know, truly, like a lot of my colleagues, we're friends. And I think we can all have, you know, fine professional little differences here. But I'm like, I don't love this blank, like in the labs are not needed anymore. I just don't. I'm standing up for it. And I'm saying, you know what? Do better. Let's do better. If you are a healthcare provider and you are super interested in sort of branching into midlife and menopause, you should absolutely take my healthcare provider course, how to prescribe HRT, how to prescribe MHT in perimenopause and menopause, the nuts and bolts. And as I continue to expand and grow, that's also where I'm going to be. It's also where I'm going to be putting first opportunities and first applications for new positions. So that you can find in the link in my bio. Now, back to speaking about perimenopause, there are actually legitimate times when lab works need to be checked. And the big examples here is perimenopausal women who don't bleed. So who are those women? You have an IUD. It's working really well. You've had an ablation. It's working really well. You've had a uterine artery embolization. You can't even go by periods. So therefore, and actually a lot of women now have had ablations and a lot of women are going into their 40s with IUDs. And so I see all these reels and TikToks of like labs aren't necessary and ha ha ha, you know, you guys are so silly, you don't need them. It's so infuriating. Again, you can tell this is why I wanted to do this episode today, because I think that is so, so inclusive. Of just saying everyone in perimenopause has periods. Oh, I forgot, even women on continuous birth control pills. Now, if you're on continuous birth control pills, just caveat, just side note, just asterisk, lab work is absolutely useless. Sorry, you guys can't check it. That's because of the birth control pills, they're always going to give you a really low FSH, a really low estradiol, because it's giving you ethanol estradiol, so it's blocking just estradiol. And a really, really low testosterone. And that testosterone is because with a really high sex hormone binding globulin because of the birth control pills. So if you're on birth control pills and you really do want to know your lab work, yes, you have to come off them for about 8 to 10 weeks. Let them kind of come out of your body and then you got to check lab work. Now, I actually do a whole separate thing for patients who are on continuous birth control pills, but that's for another time. So if you don't get periods, how do you know if you're in menopause? Because everyone says, well, no periods in 12 months. No periods in 12 months. Well, that's like, I think it's discriminating, right? Like, because you're like, okay, well, that literally doesn't include me. That's not fair because, you know, okay. So if you can't track periods, you can track two other things. Symptoms, great, sure. But how do you know perimenopause versus menopause? You have to serially be checking an FSH level. You legitimately have to be serially checking an FSH level. That's the only way you would have, you would know. Now, another time where I think it's really, really important, and I think, you know, a lot of my sort of, a lot of the people who I always kind of say shouting labs are unnecessary are also the same clinicians who I feel like would do an endometrial biopsy the second you had a drop of bleeding on postmenopausal hormone therapy. And there's another case that is really important here. And that is like late appearing or sort of later onset or uncontrolled polycystic ovarian syndrome. So I can't tell you how many women I've also seen with no periods in 6 months. If I was like, oh, well, lab work's unnecessary, maybe I would either turn her away and say, come back. Well, I wouldn't do that. But another doc would say, well, you know, come back in 6 more months and we can discuss menopause. But I have actually found really low FSH values and high estrogens and high testosterones. That's PCOS. And if I was just to sort of say, well, let's just probably, you're just going into menopause, poo-poo, I would miss a really important diagnosis. And that actually should be worked up with an ultrasound and potentially a biopsy, because we know polycystic ovarian syndrome increases your risk for uterine cancer. That's actually where there's a legitimate reason to go scraping around the uterus. So, you know, at the same point, we really could be missing a lot of diagnoses. So that's, there's plenty of cases right there where lab work is absolutely like necessary. So I'm really standing up. I'm getting my voice. I'm really standing up for this, like, lab work is unnecessary. And again, you know, now I've kind of given you a couple of different extremes. Perimenopause, where someone's bleeding and the lab work isn't going to make a diagnosis for me. It isn't even going to help me come up with a treatment plan, but it's going to validate my patient's concerns. It's going to give us some context and some history about her lab work. And it just forms a more, it just forms a better bond, right? And I get paid to think now. I get paid to think. Good, good. We should, a lot of the problems with healthcare are not necessarily our fault, that we're the situation that we're in now. It has to do with big pharma, has to do with insurance, has to do with lots and lots and lots of overhead from large academic institutions. But, you know, that's where we are. That is where we are. Then you have women who don't have periods, but they may be in perimenopause or menopause. They've got to check their lab work. Like, that's literally the only way. And more women are going to be on IUDs as they get into their 40s, because we've been, you know, IUDs are on the rise, especially as contraception use. And so many women are going to carry these into their 40s and 50s, myself included. So I'm really excited. I have a new partnership coming up. I can't wait to tell you all about it. And this has really got me thinking about this for like the last 2 months. And I've always practiced this way, but I didn't really realize how strongly I felt about this until I just kind of saw a lot more of this discourse. And then again, you know, you could miss a diagnosis if you don't check lab work, to be totally honest. A low FSH, a high estrogen, high testosterone in someone who's not having regular periods is freaking PCOS, not perimenopause. So that's really important. If you want, I can do a whole different podcast actually on PCOS and what that means if you have PCOS as you go into perimenopause. Now, again, I mentioned the lab work that I need. So if you kind of want to write that down, you know, go ahead and rewind this, but you don't also need massive testing. So I think what people are kind of afraid of is, you know, asking for these massive tests that they can't understand. And I get that. I had a patient yesterday ask me for blood levels of lead. And I was like, totally happy to order it for you. But I don't know totally how to interpret it. I'm honest when I'm not sure how to interpret them, because I'm not exactly sure. I'm not an environmental physician. There's actually physicians who specialize in environmental health and exposures. And she was like, you know what? That's great. I appreciate you telling me that. I'm kind of interested and I'll take this to my PCP. I said, great, fine. Because she was already going to get her hormone testing. You know, Dutch testing, I think, is what happens when us as physicians in who practice evidence-based medicine don't order any labs. People are so frustrated by that. They feel so dismissed. They feel so discouraged. They feel so unheard. I would. Wouldn't you? And so, again, unless you're one of those people that's like, no, I've like literally driving my kids all around to like lacrosse practice and tutoring and I don't need to get my blood drawn. Totally fair. Totally fine. Like I said, I could exist in a vacuum. Don't need your blood work. But for those people that do, I feel really strongly that saying, well, it's just like not necessary. It just sounds, that's just not how I treat my patients. I just don't. I treat my patients with shared decision making. I treat my patients with shared decision making because I know how to answer any question, and therefore I do, right? So I think Dutch testing is almost the same as, you know, clinicians not prescribing FDA approved HRT. So you've got all these people on pellets. If we in academic centers who practice evidence based medicine, you know, which is fine and all good, but it can be harmful too. It can be used as a weapon against people when doctors don't want to spend time or money or time basically and lose money thinking about something. So that's where I think all this Dutch testing is coming from. You don't need a Dutch test. You just need if you are going to do a dirty draw, FSH, estrogen, that's all I need. That's all I need. You don't need estriol and estradiol and pralinolone and progesterone and things that I literally can't even pronounce. I'm pretty smart and I have no need for those. Okay. All right. Let's talk about postmenopausally. Do you need lab work? Now, again, the kind of argument here is like, I know you're in menopause. Again, I have caught a few people with PCOS that otherwise would have been given like HRT if no one had checked their FSH and it was 12. And then their endometrial lining was like, you know, 5 centimeters. So I still think that there is room for lab work, just some basic lab work. Think of all the labs you order. Clinicians are, it's so interesting, like what gets priority, you know? So if they're going to order, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something like statins, right? They're going to order all these different blood tests and then they're going to definitely give you a statin. They're going to check your lipids all the time. What? So why are we treating hormones? Literally no joke. They are no joke when you're prescribing HRT. So why are we just like willy-nilly about it? Okay, so you can tell where I stand on this is that I think we're doing such a disservice by just being like, well, we don't need it. That's okay. There's some time and some place here, guys. And this is really aimed more certainly too at the medical community, because I think things are shifting a lot. And I think patients deserve a lot more knowledge about their bodies, individualism, and shared decision-making. These are falling completely by the wayside because modern medicine doesn't allow the time and doesn't pay doctors to think and to talk. So I just say what it is. Anyways, postmenopausally, right. I can exist in a vacuum. I know that, you know, if you haven't had a period in a few years, you're having hot flashes, you can't sleep, your vagina's dry, your FSH is going to be super high, your estrogen is going to be super low. Do I need lab work? No. A lot of my patients want it? Again, sort of, some do, some really don't. And menopause is a little bit more obvious. So there's a little bit less of that. Well, what could it be? Could it also be my thyroid? Could it be my insulin? Could it be my cortisol? You know, like when we just dismiss perimenopausal women, they just start spiraling and they were like, oh, you know what? I will get a PhD on this on the side and I'll figure this out. That's what they do. And then because they still have barriers to getting lab work, they go, right? You know where I'm going with that. All right. So menopause, don't need it. But again, some people are like, I'm kind of interested. I'll say, okay, let's check your labs. And sometimes, especially when a patient's either considering HRT or considering testosterone, you see that level come back at like 1 and you're like, oh, wow, there's proof's in the pudding. Like there's nothing in my body. And sometimes it literally just takes seeing it on a piece of paper. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all like seeing our name in the news or seeing our name in an email congratulating us, or, you know, so we like to see things in print. That's okay. Give it its, let the people live. And then what about checking up on hormone therapy? So I think that checking labs in postmenopause can be really useful too. Now, again, I go mostly by clinical experience. So when my patients say, they come back and they're like, I literally feel amazing. I'm like a new person. No breast tenderness, no bleeding. I'm doing great. Great. You know, I sometimes will err on the side of like, let's just check your estrogen once. Or if they're like, I just don't want to. I just can't. I'm like, okay. I know that clinically you're in a good range, because if it was too high, you'd be bleeding. You'd have breast tenderness. Like you'd have some sort of side effect from it being too high. Now, if they're on testosterone, I always check testosterone because I am a testosterone truther and I don't want my patients to have super therapeutic levels, lose their hair, get acne. Absolutely not. So I do routinely check testosterone for follow-up. And, you know, estrogen, where should that be? Postmenopausally, between 40 and 70 pgs per ml, higher, up to 120 pgs per ml if you're premature menopause, surgical menopause, early menopause. Now, peri, again, it's clinically based, but if you want to check or follow up in context, we can always do that. But peri, again, there's no like, where should it be? But postmenopause, I usually will check that. And sometimes my patients and I will do that when we're trying to decide, should we move you up on a dose? Should we stay here? And we'll check those labs and see if you've got any, what I call quote unquote wiggle room. And if you do, we'll change your dose. And so, you know, certainly, of course, you absolutely should be checking testosterone levels. Now, you don't need to check them every, you know, I think also I get lots of emails and DMs from patients like, are your labs covered by insurance? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely, because this isn't an approved testing. And I don't need, again, literally, again, you know, this is a, funny episode to record because at one hand, I'm like, yeah, I don't need them. But on the other hand, I'm like, let people live. Right. So, you know, what you can really kind of see here is that I think that ultimately shared decision making should be made. I wish that all clinicians did have the knowledge to understand your lab work in the right context, just like we understand thyroid levels and thyroid labs. And if you're really interested in this, you've got to get my healthcare provider course. You've got to jump in. It's literally the best thing you'll ever do. Because I can't do this and I can't do this by myself. And I don't want to do this by myself. And the more experienced clinicians have, the better we literally all are as a society. And, you know, also my wish would be that if your clinicians say if they don't know how to understand them, they say, I don't know how to interpret those, but you know, I can try and help you, because that's the thing. They just kind of brush it off and say like, no, it's just not necessary. Or they say, oh, your labs were normal. And I want you guys, my army of women, I want you guys to speak up. Because by putting pressure on your clinicians, as much as you might love them, by putting that pressure on them, by making them a little like, I don't know what the word is, like either like embarrassed that you seem to know more, they will go home and read. Because all doctors are competitive at the end of the day. And certainly some might push back. And if so, you want a new doctor anyways. But if you're like, well, you know, I know that I'm in perimenopause and I'm feeling all these symptoms and I actually see that my FSH is like kind of going up over time. What does it mean that the one time it was like 60? Couldn't that mean I'm in later perimenopause? And like, wouldn't I be a candidate for HRT? I think you're going to just like, just cracks me up. Some of your stories. Now, also I teach this in my Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass. In that course, I literally teach you more than your doctors and I give you the scripts and the papers and all the things to go really get what you need from your doctor. And it works every single time. Every single time. So it's basically a course on becoming, you want that PhD in your spare time, do this course. And it's also like a little psychological experiment of like how to train your doctors on menopause. It's amazing. So thank you guys so much for listening. The TLDR here is that like shared decision-making should be made. Labs in perimenopause can be understood contextually and over time, or they don't need to be taken. Depends on what the patient wants. There are absolutely times where it's necessary if you don't bleed and you're transitioning from perimenopause to menopause. And if the patient needs to be ruled out for PCOS versus menopause. And there are some really important other lab work that could be done at the same time. If you're doing testosterone, that absolutely should be checked. And then postmenopausally, it could be done to validate a patient's decision. In checking labs on postmenopausal hormone therapy could also be really helpful when you're deciding on the right dose and absolutely should be done if you're using testosterone. Now, it needs to only be done maybe once a year, really infrequently. And all you need at that point when postmenopause is either just an estradiol level or if you're on T, also a testosterone level. And that's it. The TLDR was like 60 seconds. If you just listened to that last part, there you go. I'm going to go make some reels. I'm going to go make some TikToks. I'm going to stir up some controversy. And you guys keep being proactive. All you amazing clinicians, great job. I hope this either solidified what you've been doing or maybe will change your practice. I got to get CMEs just for like listening to the show. And I would love to see you in the healthcare provider course. You are going to love like the group that we have and the mentorship. All right, that's all for now. I got to jump on a call for my next book. Can you guess the topic? We talked about it a lot on the show. All right. Have a great afternoon, a great day, a great walk. I love you ladies so much. And I can't wait to see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye everyone. If you love the show and you're dying to work with me, there is a couple of different ways that you can do so. First, I have an incredible menopause course. It's called the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass. And don't be fooled, it also is for women in perimenopause. In this course, I teach you how to thrive. It's my signature method to help you figure out what HRT regimen is best and right for you and how to make adjustments and then how to get this from your own doctor. Now, I also see patients in my private telemedicine clinic. I have a license in several states and I'm always working on more. You can go to my website, heatherhirschmd.com, to find out if you want to take the course and join our incredible Facebook group with monthly lives or work with me one-on-one. Now, I hope I get the chance to work with you. And thank you so much for listening to the show. If I haven't already done so, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to my show. Consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. Also, if you love the show, your stars or a quick review could really help other women who are searching for information on menopause and midlife around the globe find this show. If you want to work with me, consider the Reclaiming Menopause Masterclass. The link for that is in the description to this show. Thank you again from the bottom of my heart for all your support, and I'll see you next week for a brand new episode.